So every 5 or 6 years, this feast, August 6th, the Transfiguration falls on Sunday. And when this feast, which we celebrate every year on this date, when it falls on a Sunday, it supersedes the regular Sunday that's assigned to this day. This great event in the life of Jesus and the life of the church. As Jesus took these three close friends up the mountain, and when St. Luke tells us a story, he says he took them up there to pray. Peter, James, and John, the three closest companions, they were with him when he healed the man's daughter who they thought was dead. And then we'll see this same group together again at the end of the life of Jesus. We heard in the first reading this great prophecy from Daniel, the vision that he had about what God is like, what God would look like, how God would reveal himself. And that's the vision that Peter, James, and John were able to have. For as our gospel began, the lectionary, the book that we read from at Mass, left out a few words if you were read it directly from the Bible. St. Matthew says, after 6 days, Jesus took them up the mountain. After 6 days is a critical construct, a critical phrase, to put it in perspective. What does this event mean? Why did they have this encounter? Because at the end of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus brings them all together and says, who do people say that I am? You know, maybe like the first public opinion poll was wrong because they all got the answers wrong. Some say this, some say that, some say this. But it was Peter who stood up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's when Jesus told Peter, yes, and you are the rock, and I will build my church on you, the rock. And then Jesus went on to say, the Son of Man will be crucified. He will be handed over and turned over, and he will be killed. And Peter said, no, that will never happen. I won't let that happen to you. And so the man that Jesus just called the rock on whom he would build his church, he said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, you stumbling block. You're not a rock anymore. You're a stumbling block. Get behind me. You're thinking like man and not like God. And then Jesus went on to say, for everyone, anyone who wants to follow me, you got to deny yourself. You got to lose your life. You got to take up your cross, and then you got to follow me. And, you know, here we are 2,000 years later. We have a beautiful crucifix in our sanctuary. I'm sure many of us have one hanging around our neck or in our pocket on our rosaries. We've sanitized the cross. We've sanitized the crucifixion. We make it nice. But it wasn't quite so nice in the time of Jesus. The most gruesome, the most gory thing you can imagine wouldn't even come close to the reality of the crucifixion. And that's what Jesus says you have to do if you want to be my disciple. I don't think he'd pass a leadership class in 2023. Not too many people are going to want to join that group if I know I have to die a gruesome death to be part of it. So it's within that context, with the reality of what's going to happen to Jesus and what each one of us is called to, that he invites Peter, James, and John up to this mountain to see him in his glory. So he was transfigured. The word is metamorphosis from our third grade science class, right? The caterpillar becomes a butterfly through metamorphosis. It's changing. That's what happened to Jesus on top of the mountain. He changed. Not in his essence, because he's always God. The glory is always there. But he was hiding his glory behind the humanity. But for that brief moment, he allowed his glory to shine. And up there with him were Moses and Elijah, these two great figures from the Old Testament. Moses symbolizing the law. It's said that he wrote the first five books, the Torah, in the Old Testament, where God gave the law. And Elijah represents the prophets. Like, what does it mean to live a life according to the law? What is God doing in our lives? And what happens if we're disobedient? The prophets tell us these things. So the law and the prophets made up the Old Testament. And here are these two great figures speaking to Jesus. He's the completion of the law and the prophets, the fulfillment. But there's also something more there. You know, in the Old Testament, over 100 times, we read in some way, this desire of the human heart to see the face of God. But it was impossible because they could have no images of God. So this yearning that they had was unfulfilled, unmet. And this is one of the reasons why Jesus came, why God took on human flesh, to reveal to each one of us, each one of you, the face and the heart of the Father. And so the desire that we all have to see his face is met in the person of Jesus. Well, Moses and Elijah had that same desire. And there are actually two of the figures in the Old Testament who climbed a mountain to talk to God, to see God. And they climbed the same mountain that Peter, James, and John are on now. When Moses wanted to see the face of God, and God said, "No, I will show you my back as I pass by." Elijah, knowing the admonition that said, if anyone sees the face of God, they will die. So when he went up the mountain, he hid his face in his cloak, and he heard the still small voice of God. And now, in this encounter on top of the mountain, once again, they get to see the face of God in the face of Jesus. We celebrate this great feast today to remind us that call of discipleship, the great cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, hasn't changed. If you want to go to heaven, if we want to go to heaven, the same qualifications are there. We have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. And we know where Jesus leads, to Calvary. He leads to the crucifixion. We must follow him there if we want to get to heaven. And so we need this feast the same way that Peter, James, and John did. Because I'm sure each one of us in here today could tell the story. You could give your testimony about carrying your cross. Some of you today are carrying immensely heavy crosses that you don't know how you're going to take one more step. Some of you dealt with some little pinpricks this morning where your life wasn't as comfortable as you wanted it to be. We all deal with things, no matter where they are on that spectrum, where we have an invitation each day to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. And like Peter, oftentimes we say, "No, that's not what's going to happen. Your plan, God, does not coincide with mine, so you need to change your plan, God." Again, I'm sure each one of us could tell our version of that same story. But Jesus says, "No. This is the only way. This is the only way to go through Calvary, to get to the resurrection, is we must follow the path of the cross. But so that we don't lose hope, so that we don't get discouraged, he gives us the glimpse of glory. On Good Friday, hope seemed to be lost. Hope seemed to be dead. Hope seemed to be buried in the tomb with Jesus. But on Easter Sunday, hope rose. And we live in that hope that one day we too, if we faithfully follow Jesus through Calvary, that we will rise and we will be able to behold the face of God, the glorified face of God for eternity. This is the promise that he's given to you. This is the hope that we have. This is why we can persevere through our crosses that we face each day. And this is why it's so important for us to celebrate this day, so that we don't listen to the voices of the world. Jesus said, "This is my son, listen to him." So who do you listen to? Who do you allow to fill your ears, your head, your heart? Who do you allow to set the path for you, what your life is supposed to be or how it should be, and why God's plan can't fit into your life because your life is supposed to be fill in the blank? Who are you listening to? The Father in heaven says, listen to my son. Are you listening to Jesus? Are you quieting the voices around you so you can hear the one true voice, the voice that leads to freedom? Peter, James, and John went up the mountain and they beheld the glory of God. That's what we're doing now. We're in Florida, so we don't have high mountains. We have a two-step mountain. The glory of God will be revealed here very shortly. As I say those words of consecration, and what right now is bread and wine becomes Jesus, really, truly, substantially present on the altar. And I'll hold him up and I'll say, behold the Lamb of God. The same way that Peter, James, and John beheld the glory of God, you have that same opportunity every time you come to Mass. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you respond like they did and fall down in awe and reverence of this amazing gift that you get to behold the face of God? This is such a real life experience for Peter. He wrote about it in the second reading. He's telling us what happened on that mountain. He said the Father told us to listen to his son. In the Old Testament, it said the word of God was like a lamp that lit their way. That's what Peter said in that second reading today. Hold on to him like a lamp in the darkness until he comes again like the dawn rising. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are awaiting the second coming. And even though we face each other at Mass, our hearts are facing together. They're waiting for the rising sun so that when he comes again in glory, he will take us to himself. There is a high cost of discipleship. You have to lose everything. Be willing to give up everything for the sake of Jesus Christ and his gospel. But if you do that, glory is waiting. Heaven is waiting. The Father is speaking to your hearts today. Are you listening?